Oh, hey, I'm so glad that you found us. My name's Michael, and I get to be the pastor at Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church in Lakeland, Florida. You're listening to the It's Better When You're Here podcast, where every week we upload the messages that are preached at our church every Sunday. We hope by listening to this, you feel safe, heard, and loved by the God that created you. We hope this message makes an impact in your life. If listening to this makes a difference, reach out to us and connect with us either on social media or on our website, shepherdsumc.com. All right, here's the message. This morning, continuing our series, listening to the stories that sing when it feels like God is quiet. Looking at the history and the gift of African American preaching, Black American preaching from the African American church, the history of racism and segregation has really created a different sort of history that I never got to see growing up in a predominantly white church. Like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, the most segregated hour of the week is 10:30 on a Sunday morning. And so my hope, my goal to be an anti-racist church, an anti-racist denomination, is to help us see what we're missing out on. And you know, I don't think that I'm ever going to be able to preach as well as some African-American preachers, and I don't think it's really my place too, but rather to take from that tradition and let it influence the way that I preach. And what I love about African-American preaching is chief among the things, they are not afraid of pushing the people that listen. They're not afraid to push people towards change, push people towards societal change, and not afraid of hearing stories that might make us feel sad. Like I've told you before, I'm a happy guy. You know, you may have noticed. I like to be a happy guy. I like to make sure everything ends well. There's no reason to have a sad story. You know, you can just have a happy one, right? Why have a sad story when you can have a happy one? Why watch a sad story when you can watch a comedy? But here's the thing. Sometimes life is sad. And so we have to read all the stories in the Bible, not just the happy ones. Today, we're going to hear a story about a guy who died, but then didn't stay that way. And so this is the story of Lazarus. But today, when we hear this story, even before we read scripture, I want you to be thinking about something. There are things in our life, things that happen in our day-to-day lives that can be just as debilitating, just as stopping, just as powerful as death. So though all of us, none of us here in this space have died, at least the last time I checked, if you have, tell me the story, but all of us will at some point. And so in this moment, in this space, I want us to be thinking about the ways that there are things in our life that are dying or are in death that we can pull out of that. Anyways, the thing I'm going to say a lot today, the first thing you can put in your notes, and I'll tell you about that in just a second, is this. If you find yourself in a season of death, it's time to come out. So we still don't have toner. We have begged, we've pleaded our printing company to send us toner, and they've declined to do that. They said that it's 2 to 5 business days, a few business days ago. And so you do not have a bulletin to write your notes in, but instead what you have is a digital bulletin. So I invite you to go to shepherdsumc.com. If you have your phone, shepherdsumc.com. And right at the very tippy top of that website, you'll see the banner and it says Sermon Notes. What you're going to do is you're going to press that button. And at the end of the service, when you hit submit, it'll send you an email of all of your notes. And friends, we're going to give this a shot, see if this works. If you hate it, please let Kevin know. If you like it, please let me know. And because I like happy endings. But so tell me if it works for you. But yeah, shepherdsumc.com and go to Sermon Notes. And you can write the first note, which is, if you find yourself in a season of death, it's time to come out. Now, while you're there, go to John chapter 11. Take your Bibles, whether they be digital or paper, and go to John chapter 11. And we're going to begin reading in verse 38. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus was deeply disturbed again when he came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone covered the entrance. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, "Lord, the smell will be awful. He's been dead 4 days." Or if you read it in the King James Version, it'll say, "Surely, Lord, he will stinketh." And that's just something I know because I was in youth ministry for 10 years. I thought about bringing the word in King James Version, but I didn't want to have to sound out all the syllables in front of you. I thought it'd be too embarrassing. Just know, But if you're reading the King James Version, it says he stinketh. Anyways, Jesus replied, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see God's glory?" So they removed the stone. Jesus looked up and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. I know you always hear me. I say this for the benefit of the crowd standing here, so that they will believe that you sent me." Having said this, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his feet bound and his hands tied, and his face covered with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who came with Mary and saw what Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Very good. So this is a passage, again, kind of from that class of scripture that you may have heard in Sunday school growing up. If you've been in the church for any period of time, Lazarus is a story that you go to because it's a great story. How often do you hear a story about the hero dying, but then he gets better, right? Other than maybe Monty Python. But we get to see that this person gets better, that Lazarus dies, but doesn't stay that way. We got a few characters I want to unpack for you. First, it's Jesus. Jesus keeps showing up in our stories, doesn't he? The thing that Jesus is doing in this passage is he's trying to convince others that he has power through his message. He's not there to just show people that he's some superhuman, he's got super strength, superpowers, but rather he's trying to show that the gospel matters through a new life. And Lazarus, what does he do in the story? Well, he dies. He's dead, and then he gets better. He comes out of the tomb and shows people that new life is possible. And then there's the onlookers. There's two different kinds of onlookers there. Number one, the onlookers who see Jesus raise someone up from the dead, who see and believe. And then another group of onlookers who see Jesus raise someone from the dead and decide to tattletale on him, right? See a miracle and decide to snitch and tell the Pharisees, "Ooh, Jesus is getting up to something naughty. Right? You better keep an eye on him." So those are the characters that we see today. If you find yourself in a season of death, it's time to come out. So Lazarus, like I said, his main feature in this story is that he is dead. Sometimes in our stories, our theologians will see these things, these miracles, and try to explain them away. Modern theologians are really uncomfortable with miracles, well, because they don't make any sense. Miracles violate our understanding of physics and medicine. Typically, death is terminal. You don't typically get better when you die. Obviously, defibrillators have kind of made that a little bit different, but eventually it comes for all of us. But I want you to know this today. If you walk out just hearing one thing, I want you to hear that Lazarus was literally, not figuratively, dead. He wasn't in a coma. He was dead. He ceased to be. Right? He was no longer alive, and Jesus changed that. But like I said at the very beginning, I am not trying to tell you how to act after you die. I am telling you how to live while you are alive. The thing about this story is that we can learn as those who live that there are things in our life that pull us towards death and don't pull us towards life. There are things in our life that pull us towards death and don't pull us towards life. I don't know what it is for you, but maybe, just maybe, it might be a relationship that is holding you back. A relationship that didn't turn out the way that you wanted it to be. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a sin that keeps popping up in your life, that keeps pulling you down. Maybe it's a viewpoint. Maybe it's a self-narrative that you have about yourself. All of us carry things today, friends, all of us, that pull us towards the tomb. But the story of Lazarus shows us that life is possible. Jesus has power over death because he has power in life. Jesus has power over death because he has power in life. I was raised in a church that taught me that Jesus' sacrifice, Jesus' love for us, mostly focused on the things that happen right after you died, right? You die, and then God decides whether you're going up or going down. Decides whether you're going to a good place or a bad place, right? whether you're going to a place that's really, really wonderful or has frozen yogurt on tap, which no one likes frozen yogurt. Amen? Anyways, it decides where you're going to go. But friends, the story of Lazarus shows us that the message of Jesus is also about this life. Jesus has power over death because of the new life that we get to live into. If you find yourself in a season of death, it's time to come out. So we talked about the onlookers. Mourners were a normal part of this Jewish tradition. When someone died, people descended upon the family to show love and to show care. To be near the funeral, to be around the funeral, was seen as a mitzvah, as a blessing to be a part of. I'm glad we try not to lose that in our lives, don't we, friends? I hope that if you've ever experienced loss, you've experienced what I experienced when my dad passed away. I opened up the fridge and thought that the light went out in the refrigerator for all the casseroles that have been stacked so high. Because, you know, in the South, to show someone you're sad that they're mourning, you give them cheese congealed into a casserole dish with some sort of starch. Amen, right? Macaroni and cheese or pot roast or something to show you, I'm sorry that you're suffering, but here, be able to eat my love, you know, be able to share that with you. We have that in our own lives. But there was another group of people there to see Lazarus because I think they began to suspect that Jesus was something different and they didn't like different. They knew that Jesus was going to show up because they knew Jesus was friends with Lazarus and they wanted to see what Jesus was going to do and they wanted to call him out. Friends, in our own lives, there may be people who are mourning parts of your life. They see the dying parts of your life and they think that that's who you are. They see the parts that pull you towards the tomb and not towards new life and they think that's all that you are. They think that you're your greatest failure. They think that you're your greatest mistake. Those people are the mourners who tattle on Jesus. But friends, hear this today. To come out of death requires us to be around those who believe in life. If you're going to answer the call of Jesus to come out of death and come into life, it is going to require you to change your crowd. It is going to require you to change your surroundings. If people define you by the thing that pulls you towards the tomb, it's time to change your crowd. If you find yourself in a season of death, it's time to come out. Jesus walked up to the tomb and was disturbed by the tomb. Now, the thing about the Gospel of John is it's written differently than all the other Gospels. The way that I describe it is Matthew, Mark, and Luke are sitting close to each other and looking off of each other's paper. That's how I describe that. And John is in the back of the room looking at butterflies out the window. John is very different in the gospel. And theologians and commentaries, they look at why was Jesus disturbed looking at the tomb? And no one can agree. So I get to make up my own definition, okay? I think that Jesus might have been disturbed by the tomb because Jesus believed that Lazarus had more to do. I think that Jesus saw the tomb and knew that Lazarus was in it and thought, wait, no, that's not right. There's more for Lazarus to do. And friends, I want you to hear this today. As long as we draw breath, we have a purpose. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how difficult getting around, how difficult getting up, how difficult moving is for you. We all have a purpose to serve, to share, to sing. We all have a calling and a purpose. As long as we draw breath, we are in the game, friends. There is no bench in the Christian walk. We are all in the game. Maybe your calling is not to be on stage and be loud and obnoxious like my sacred calling happens to be. Maybe your calling is in the back of the room. Maybe your calling is in the pew that you fill with other people. Look at me saying pew. In the chair with the people around you that you're going to invite. Maybe it's to your kids. Maybe it's to your own parents. All of us, friends, we have a calling. But if you find yourself in a season of death, it's time to come out because it will cloud your ability to find your calling. Cloud your ability to find your calling. Now, back to Lazarus. His death was something that people knew about. It made the news, right, friends? It was in the obits, right? It was on the news at the end of the night. Not a whole lot going on in Bethany, right? Bethany was kind of a small town. Everyone would have heard that old Lazzy finally kicked the bucket. He'd been sick for a couple weeks, right? And that's what he was known by. I wonder if sometimes we stay in our death because we don't want to be seen as someone who changes. You ever been to the gym on January 1st? There's two different groups of people there on January 1st. A lot of people who are very uncomfortable and wish that they had stayed at home. There's a lot of those people. And then there's a smaller percentage of people who are really upset that someone's on their machine, right? And can't wait until the next week when their machine is open again. There's those people that they feel awkward, they feel uncertain, they feel out of place. And come February, where are they? I don't know, but they're not at the gym, right? They feel that uncomfortable sort of feeling. They don't want to be there. I think sometimes in our spiritual lives, we feel a bit like we've shown up to the gym and it's January 1st. Y'all have made me crazy. I invite strangers to church, which I know all of you do as well. All the time. Amen, hallelujah, yes. But I do that a lot because I find myself compelled by what God is doing here at this church. And I can't tell you how many times I've asked people, you know, come and be a part of what God is doing at our church. And I hear, oh, y'all wouldn't want me there. I don't know where to start. Oh, I haven't been to church since I was a kid. Or I hear that I'd get struck by lightning or catch flames if I walked in the building. I can't tell you how many times I hear that because, friends, our spiritual life, we can feel awkward and out of place. But, friends, newsflash, a life in Christ is a series of small deaths and new lives. A life in Christ is a series of small deaths and new lives. To follow Jesus is to have a recurring theme of going to your first meeting of a recovery group. To follow Christ, to have a life after Christ, is to have that January 1st feeling at the gym over and over and over again. To have a life followed after Christ is trying your best to say your first sentence of Spanish to a native speaker. It is all about trying and failing, small deaths and new lives again and again and again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "So then, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a part of the new creation. The old things have gone away, and look, new things have arrived." A lot of you have met me with hair that looks like this. Some of you met me when my hair was short and balding. But we don't talk about that part. But this long hair is a new thing for me. It is a new creation. You might be used to it, but if I see someone that I knew in high school, they don't recognize me because I have changed. And I'm sure it's just the hair since high school that has changed. And I am a new creation. I am a new thing. Friends, if your life doesn't feel like a series of new creations, I wonder if you're in a season of death. Our life has to look like a series of new creations. I think back as to who I was as a young man 20 years ago. If I got into a time machine and went back 20 years, I don't know if I could talk to my old self for longer than like 10 minutes before he annoyed me too much and I decided, I don't know, to place a couple bets on a sports game or something. Because I am so different from who that old me was. I was still a Christian. I was still following Jesus. I had a call in my life. I knew what Jesus was calling me to do, but friends, I have changed. I think sometimes we live in a culture that sees people that change, that grow, that adapt, that become new creations as people that are wishy-washy, or flip-floppers. But friends, we have to understand that If we're really going to follow Jesus, we are part of a new creation that is constantly growing and changing. But like I said, if your life doesn't feel like a series of small deaths and new births, you might be in a season of death, and it's time to come out. So we remember the onlookers, right? Those that see what Jesus did and believe. There will be people, I pray there will be people around you when you come out of this season of death that see the change within you and go, there he is. I knew he was there all along. I knew Lazarus wasn't going to stay dead. I knew he was going to come back to life and believe in the change that you see in your own life. And there will be others who will seek to define you by who you once were. You used to be a parent that didn't care. You used to be a sibling who couldn't be relied upon. You used to be selfish. You used to be all these other horrible things. But now you are something new. There will be onlookers who want to define you by your past. I think it was tough for Lazarus to keep living. I think it was tough for him to meet new people. Oh, yeah, Lazarus from Bethany. How do I know you? My sisters are Mary and Martha. No, that's not it. That's not it. I run a pottery company. It's fairly successful. You know, I make pots, pans, you know, all sorts. No, that's not it. I died once. Oh, that's what it is. You're the guy who died a little bit. That's how I know you. You're the guy who died. I'm sure Lazarus came up with all sorts of different hobbies. Maybe he got into pickleball, but no one knew him as the pickleball guy. Everyone knew him as the guy who died a little bit. Or died completely and then stopped doing that anymore. That's who he was. But Lazarus was no longer dead. He had to choose to live. He had to choose to say, yeah, that's something that I did before, but it's something that I don't do any longer. This church must be a place of rebirth. This church must be a place where we see people coming out of the tomb every single Sunday, in small ways and in big ways. I want you to look at something. All throughout this miracle, go back to your scripture in John chapter 11. You'll see that Jesus stands before the tomb and says, Lazarus, come out. That's Jesus commanding Lazarus to do something. And then the dead man came out. He also said, hey, move that stone out of the way. And people had to move the stone. But then Lazarus came out kind of doing this thing, like the mummy at the beginning of scary mummy movies, right? But then once they get the legs going, run for your life, right? But Lazarus is all bound up and someone had to untie him. Friends, what would it look like for us if we were the church that rolled away stones, that cut burial cloth, that made it easier for people to live a new life? What would that look like if we were a church that was so known for rebirth that we were the ones that rolled away stones and cut off old burial cloth, that saw people coming out of seasons of death and going in to new life? Jesus called out Lazarus because he had more life left to live. He had more mission. He had more ministry. He had more things to do. He was not done. Jesus called out Lazarus because the gospel was the only way to live this new life. Lazarus might as well have stayed dead if it weren't for Jesus' work in the world. If it weren't for the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ, Lazarus could have stayed in that tomb. Jesus called out Lazarus because the world needed to see new life was possible. Because of Jesus, because of what was going on, because of the gospel, this was a foreshadowing, a foretaste of Christ's own resurrection. You see that, right? It showed, this is just the opening salvo against death. Death will no longer be the end. Let me call something out for those of us who have lost someone that we love very much. I remember I was at church. Actually, this is kind of a pivotal moment for me. I remember I was in church a few weeks after my dad passed away, and the passage was the Lazarus tale. And I remember the moment when I thought, I don't know if I believe this anymore. Because when you've lost someone that you love so very much and you read the story of Lazarus getting called out of the tomb, I think, well, why not my dad? Why didn't Jesus say, Emery, come out? Why didn't Jesus call our loved ones out? And if you're still harboring that pain, that anger, I want to encourage you, keep holding on to that. Don't push through that. Feel the pain that you might feel. Feel that anger. God is not worried about that at all. He'll meet you right where you are. God will meet you right where you are. But one thing I can tell you is this, this beautiful reality that I know is that though the ones that we love are not called out of the tomb like Lazarus was, we know that death is not the end. We know that as our bodies die, our life begins eternally. We know that when we suffer the loss of those that we love, we know that it is not the end. And that is why Jesus called out Lazarus, because the world needed to see that new life was possible. So every week I give you some action, something I want you to do to see how this life can be changed, how you can be transformed. It's simple this week. I want you to call on the new life today. I want today to be the day that you come out of the tomb, that you find the ways that you're being held back in death, the way that the tomb is holding on to your ankle. I encourage you to shake it off today. Cut the burial clothes off of you and begin to live a new life. Jesus calls us out because we have life left to live. Jesus calls us out because the gospel is the only way to live this new life. Jesus calls us out because the world needs to see that new life is possible. It's time to leave behind the old ways of death. If you find yourself in a season of death, it's time to come out. You know, friends, one day Lazarus returned to the tomb, and so will we. How will we, friends, how will we take these seconds, these minutes, these hours, these days, these months, these years, and live life to the fullest in the way that they've been given to us, which is a gift? If you find yourself in a season of death, friends, it is time to come out. Let's pray together. All right, friends, I hope you heard something in today's message that made an impact in your life, helped you know that you're loved by God, and inspired you to do something about the gospel that is offered to you. Now receive this blessing as you go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.